nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
So good afternoon all. I'm Bishwajit Ray, PhD student with Professor Ashraf Alam. I'll talk about today about polymer-based solar cell. It may be a new topic to many of you. So I'll first describe from basics how this cell operates and what are the basic fabrication steps to fabricate this device. And hopefully you'll find it interesting to see how we can analyze a very complicated problem in a very simple way throughout my presentation. So yeah, let's begin with the question, why these days people are interested in polymer-based solar cell, where we already have some matured technology of crystalline silicon solar cell or MFS solar cell. So you might have noticed that whenever we talk about any kind of solar cell technology, efficiency becomes the central parameter to discuss. But from the point of view of commercial viability, it is not really the efficiency, but it is the cost per unit watt generation which matters the most. And from this cost perspective, this polymer solar cell is very attractive today. So since both crystalline and amorphous based solar cell are fabricated at high temperature annealing, so hence the cost of fabrication for them is higher. But in case of polymer solar cell, it is processed at room temperature through solution processing, which makes it very cheap. And one more advantage with this polymer-based solar cell is that it can be fabricated on a flexible substrate. So it opens up newer applications like portable solar cell, which you can carry through our laptop bags, say. So this has this advantage also. But the real bottleneck of this polymer solar cell is its low efficiency. So I'll describe later why its efficiency is less. But before that, let me make a point here is that structurally as well as function wise, this polymer solar cell is fundamentally different from this conventional, say, silicon based solar cell. We see that both crystalline and amorphous solar cell operates on a p-n junction theory, where we have a sharp uniform junction between p and n material. But in case of this polymer solar cell, it consists of a donor and acceptor like polymers, which means two different band gaps are involved. Also, the interface between this donor and acceptor polymers is completely random, and it is good for the operation of the solar cell, which I'll explain in the next slide. So let us understand how this cell operates. So this is the same morphology. This is a cartoon I have made for the same polymer-based solar cell. So this is dark material is this acceptor type polymer, and this bright one is a donor-like polymer. So they have two different band gaps. Now, when photon gets absorbed, a particle called exciton is generated. Now, this exciton will diffuse in this morphology, and it might get self-recombined, or it will find an interface where it can dissociate into electrons and holes, and eventually these electrons and holes will be transported to the respective electrodes. Now, question here is that what is an exciton and why it requires an interface to get charge separated? So, exciton is basically a charge neutral particle containing electrons and holes under strong Coulombic attraction. Since it is charge neutral, the only transport mechanism is diffusion. So while the exciton diffuses in this material and comes to an interface like this, it gets charge separated because this interface is a heterojunction between two different type of polymers. So there is a band discontinuity is there in a very small space. That's why there is a high electric field. So this high electric field pulls apart these electrons and holes of this exciton, and gradually they are transported. So now we can see why this random morphology, this mixing is good for the solar cell, because if there are lots of interface, then no matter where an exciton is produced, it will find an interface within its diffusion length and hence can eventually produce electrons and holes. So this mixing or randomization is good for this kind of solar cell. So I'll now describe briefly in a laboratory setup how this solar cell is fabricated in the next slide. So fabrication steps are very simple. We have to take in a container two different types of polymer. One is a donor-like, for example, P3HT is a donor-like polymer, and another is acceptor-like, which is PCBM. So we have to mix them in presence of a solvent. And if we see from the top of this container, it looks like a homogeneous mixture like this. Now, second step of this processing is we have to anneal it. And if we anneal it, then the solvent will gradually evaporate out, and these two polymers will eventually phase segregate. Just like if we mix oil and water, then oil and water gets separated. This phase separation also happens for these donor acceptor type polymers. And this phase separation process is called spinodal decomposition. So let me now talk about why efficiency for this type of solar cell is less. So first of all, this polymer has a wide band gap, close to 2 electron volt. So which means the photons which are coming from the solar spectrum, if their energy is less than 2 electron volt, they cannot be absorbed. So this is one big loss. In silicon, this band gap is 1.1. So more than so there is a more probability to more photon to collect. And second lossy mechanism for this polymer is this particle called excitons involved here. So this exciton requires a suitable morphology, which means which makes it less efficient for compared to silicon based solar cell. So people are working hard to make this low band gap polymers and still get high efficiency. Also, lots of research are going on how to optimize the processing condition to get the best morphology for all the exciton to be collected. Many people are recently trying to regularize this morphology through some templating and all. But despite all these efforts, we see that efficiency is still stuck to this 5% level. It is nowhere close to the 10% which industry aims at. So one of the main reasons for this slow progress in this efficiency is the lack of any theoretical framework which can or some predictive model which can tell the experimentalist clearly that if this is the processing condition, this is the device output we can get. And it is not surprising why there is no such predictive model, because there are lots of process parameters involved which really makes this problem a multidisciplinary and multidimensional problem. So in the remaining part of my talk, I'll first describe how we can model this morphology given the processing condition. Then I'll describe how we can solve this device equation, the transport equation on the given morphology. And finally, we'll try to answer some important questions like what is the optimum annealing condition or processing condition, and how much improvement we can get if we make some irregular structure by making the solar cell more expensive. Okay, so let's start with process modeling. So we have seen this process modeling, the key thing is the phase separation between these two polymers, donor and acceptor like, and this process is called spinodal decomposition. So we have to model this as this phase separation problem for this type of polymer. And it seems that chemists have already solved this phase separation problem 50 years ago, and this equation is called Carnot-Hilliard equation. So this Carnot-Hilliard equation basically relates the free energy of this polymer-polymer system with the volume fraction. Volume fraction means, say, for dark region, it might be, we can say it is 1, and for bright, it might be 0. So it gives basically whether that particular coordinate is populated by a which type of polymer. So it basically relates these two. So though this Carnot-Hilliard equation not my the topic of my talk, but still let us explain briefly how it works. So the free energy of this polymer consists of this entropy term and this interaction energy or enthalpy term. Entropy wants to mix these two polymers completely, and this interaction energy wants to keep it phase segregated. So there is a competition, and as a result, this type of plots will get for the free energy. So initially things are completely mixed, so volume fraction is half, so we'll get so there is a high high free energy, and this system will eventually comes to an equilibrium by minimizing its free energy. So so this is this homogeneous mixture. So after the system equilibrates, this some coordinate will come to this concentration, which is a polymer, this bright polymer, and this some concentration will come to close to one, which is a dark polymer. So this is how the system will come or equilibrate. And how fast the system will come from this non-equilibrium to a non-equilibrium condition, that is determined by this process kinetics, which is this Carnot-Hilliard equation. It gives how fast it will come or it will equilibrate. And we see there are free energies involved, and basically in the bottom line in this slide is that we can encapsulate the details of the polymer we use in the free energy function. And that's how we can predict this morphology. And the process temperatures and all are also involved. So these effects we can actually capture through this Carnot-Hilliard equation. So let me show you how this numerical solution of this equation looks like. Yeah, so this is the starting point where things are completely phase segregated, completely homogeneous. And if we anneal it for more and more time, the things will get gradually phase segregate. And this is an experimentally observed morphology. This is an electron tomography picture. So we see that though our model is very simple, but it really captures the essential features of this morphology. And yeah, one key thing here I want to mention here is that though this morphology looks random, but it has a characteristic width. I mean, there are no very sharp or very very big things. There is an average width, which I denote by WC. And this width gradually increases with anneal time. If you more anneal, then this width will be systematically increased. And it shows this power law. So this power law is experimentally is also observed, which is called this Lipschitz law. So since our simulation replicates this power law, which tells us that our methodology is correct. And yeah, so this is some way we can validate the theoretical framework which we propose here. So since we have this morphology, we know how this morphology is evolved with anneal time or with the given process condition. Now let us solve this device equation on it. So first equation is this exciton transport problem. So since exciton is charge neutral, the only transport equation is its diffusion equation. So we have to solve exciton diffusion equation on this morphology. So suppose this bright region denotes this exciton concentration. So the sunlight is falling on it, and this bright region is resembling the exciton concentration, which is high. Now if we turn off or if we remove the sunlight, this exciton will eventually recombine, or it will be dissociated at the interface. So let's see how it looks. So see how this exciton concentration going down, and it's become less and less bright. So we can solve this problem numerically, which is good. But to get better understanding, it is good to have some analytical expression for how exciton basically dissociates, or how exciton is getting collected. So let me talk about some analytical solution here. So these are the morphologies on which we have to solve this exciton diffusion equation. So when I thought to solve exciton diffusion equation on this morphology, it appeared to me a horrendous task. But later, when I thought about carefully, then it occurred to me that we can think of this morphology as if a mixture of two different kind of noodles. So one is of bright color noodle and one is of dark color noodle. Now what is the length of this noodle? We can find the length by pulling apart two ends of this noodle, just like this. So basically it tells us we can transform this complex morphology in a simple rectangular region. And the region and this rules for this transformation is that we have to keep this average width, which I talked in the earlier slide, same of as the width of this rectangle. And this length of this rectangle can be found from this volume conservation, because the total volume has to be conserved for both the polymers. So now instead of solving exciton diffusion equation on this random morphology, we can solve on this rectangular simple structure, and this result is a simple expression like this. So important things in this expression to note is this ratio. This L exciton is the exciton diffusion length, which tells us that if exciton diffusion length is large, then short circuit current will be more, which is intuitive, because if exciton can diffuse for larger length, then it's more probable that it will find an interface and gets charge separated. What is not intuitive is this power law with anneal time. So this power law comes in this short circuit current because this average width, what I have described here, it follows this Lipschitz law with anneal time. It follows a power law. And hence, in the short circuit current, we also find the same power law. Now, if we plot this simple analytical expression with this numerical results, we see that there is a remarkable match between these numerical results and the analytical results without any kind of fitting involved. Okay, so the surprising thing here is that this at the very low anneal time, means without annealing, also there are lots of short circuit current. So it is not intuitive, right? Because then why should we anneal? If without annealing itself, I'm getting so much high short circuit current, then why should we anneal? So let me answer this question here. So this is this vertical cut of this morphology. Whatever I have shown the pictures, these are from the top view how the morphology looks. But if we take a vertical cut between the two electrodes, it looks like this. So we see that there is a continuous path between two electrodes, and there are also some islands sitting there. So now, electrons and holes moves in this morphology like this. But if by chance an electron or exciton dissociates in this island, then those electrons or holes will be trapped. So these islands doesn't contribute in the short circuit current. So to minimize those kind of islands in this morphology. And it seems that if we anneal less, then there will be, this morphology will be filled up with lots of islands. And if we anneal it more, then things become bigger and bigger, and gradually they will connect it up between the top and bottom electrodes. And that's why we need to anneal the sample for minimum amount of time. Otherwise we will get zero short circuit current.
We are getting the highest short circuit current at the lowest anneal time, right?
That was not the complete story, because we have to anneal, otherwise there will be, it was only short circuit current predicted from exciton dissociation. But exciton dissociation will be high, I agree. But after the dissociation, electrons and holes has to be transported. So from this electron transport problem, that short annealing is not good. There are two things involved. One is exciton dissociation, which is good, okay, without annealing. But it is not the complete story, right? Because after all, these dissociated electrons and holes has to reach these electrodes, and which will be provided by the continuous path. And for this continuous path, we need annealing.
So one more thing, you have actually solved a one-dimensional exciton diffusion equation.
No, it is three-dimensional. Yeah. Okay. So since we have set up a modeling framework for device equation and also process equation, now we are ready to answer the important questions like what is the optimum processing condition, something like that. So this is the full solution after exciton diffusion equation and this electron hole transport problem. And we see that this curve peaks at some annealing time. So let me explain why it peaks. But before that, this solid line is the simulation, and this dotted points are the experimental data points. So we see that with this simple approach, we can correctly predict the experimental trend at least.
What are the parameters that you usually assume, like material dependent parameters, which decide for exactly how the curve looks like?
Yeah, like polymer chain length, or the polymer will consist of lots of monomers, right? What are the monomer volume? Then the interaction parameter between two polymers. Then the diffusion constant in the solvent. So these kind of things.
So in this particular case, how many of them do you actually know from experiments and which you guess by diffusion?
Yeah, so I take two polymers, which these experimental data reports, P3HT and PCBM. And for that, what is the monomer volume, what is the chain length that I note? And after that, I make it.
So what are the fitting
parameters? No fitting parameter. I mean, fitting parameter means here is some physical parameters like what is the polymer chain length? What is the interaction parameter between two polymers? So these kind of things are available in literature. So I have taken from that. Yeah. Correct. It is close to 1 nanosecond. 1 nanosecond. And this exciton diffusion length is close to, say, 10 nanometer. So, which tells us intuitively that this width of this morphology has to be in the order of 10 nanometer. Otherwise, lots of exciton will be lost. Yeah, so let me explain this curve. So this first curve is limited, the first part is limited by this electron hole transport because there will be lots of islands. So though excitons can diffuse and they can dissociate, but electrons and holes cannot come out of this shell. So that's why it is less. And this next part, it is less, is going down because the domains are so big. Say diffusion length is 10 nanometer, but domains will be say hundreds of nanometer. That means lots of exciton will be lost. So that's why this two part we can get, and there is a peak. Yeah, and we can predict this peak, which experimentally also people see correctly from, means we can calculate analytically given the processing condition where this curve will peak. Okay, now coming to the second question.
Morphology change with time or does it remain constant?
Yeah, it changes with time. I mean, this is the animation I showed you, right? Yep. Minute. Yeah. Yeah. So see, if you anneal it, then from this homogeneous things, it is getting phase segregated. Just like oil and water, if you mix, it gets.
Once we finish the annealing and we reach the point where we have maximum phase separation.
Yeah, we have to stop at some particular time. Say we start annealing at 150 degrees centigrade. Then after a certain amount of phase segregation, we have to stop annealing.
Right. So once we stop annealing, does it continue to?
No, no. After stopping annealing, it's fixed. Okay.
But if you use it in, so the application of that is solar cell, where you put it in places where temperature goes at 50 or 60 degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that over time it will still get annealed?
Yeah, yeah. And that is why it is not commercialized yet. I mean, there is a stability issues. If at high sunlight, it might get degrade. That's why it is not commercialized yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so coming to the second question. Means if we regularize this morphology by some strain or by some templating, which will eventually make the solar cell costly, but how much improvement we can get? So with this modeling framework, we can answer that question. So this is this simulated regular structure I use for solving this exciton transport and electron hole transport. And this is this the random morphology. And if we plot this exciton dissociation, only from exciton, how many excitons can be collected from these two, it is pretty close. So both morphology is same from the point of view of exciton diffusion. But from the, if we calculate this total current from this cell we get, we see that the regular structure gives a factor of 2 improvement at least. Because there will be very few islands sitting here and these paths are straight. So electrons and hole has to travel very less amount of distance in this cell. But in this case, these paths are curvilinear. So they will have to travel a longer path to come out of the cell. And in this process, they can recombine, which is also called germinate recombination. So if germinate recombination is absent in the solar cell, then both the cell will perform equally well. But since it is predominant, that's why in regular structure, we'll get factor of 2 improvement at least. Okay. So I'll conclude the talk saying that we have, for the first time, we have set up a modeling framework to analyze this kind of solar cell, or to answer questions that if we anneal up to this much of amount of time, then how much short circuit current we can get of the solar cell. So this modeling framework has been done for the first time, and we have shown that the short circuit current follows a power law, and we can also correctly predict what is the optimum annealing condition, what is the optimum anneal temperature or time we have to anneal it. And finally, we have shown that the regularization, though it makes the solar cell expensive, can improve only a factor of 2 improvement in this hole from the solar cell. That's all. Thank you.
How does the Kahn-Hillard equation tie up with the current equation?
current.
How is it related?
Yeah, through this morphology, because this Carnot equation will give what is the morphology. Now, once you have this morphology, you have to solve numerically this exciton diffusion equation on it, or analytical also, the way I've shown.
I know that those people solving things in the Fourier structures use continual equations like you do. So I'm always a little bit uneasy with that, because can you talk a little bit about how you imagine this thing? How does it look like on an atomic scale?
Atomic scale? Okay.
I mean, it's not a crystal anymore. And the exciton is somehow, what is it really?
The way I understand is, yeah, something like this pi and pi star bonding we have, right? So, exciton is something like, if you can simply think of it as a particle containing electrons and holes under Coulombic attraction. So, they are not free. But as a whole, exciton can diffuse in this structure.
How does this transfer from one place to the other actually work?
Okay, the physical process, I don't know. I mean, how this exciton physically transport. Yeah. But I model it through a particle concept.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
What's the weight in the number of atoms that one of these channels has?
Channels, I mean, a chain.
Yeah, but what's the, because we never show.
Okay, so this width is in the order of say 10-20 nanometer. So overall, you can see it maybe half a micron, something like that. This is a sample. I mean, but solar cell will be in millimeter by millimeter squared in this kind of scale. But this is just for simulation. I have taken some part of it.
You would have something like maybe 50 atoms in kind of as the width of one of these channels.
Not exactly, because a polymer chain will consist of say 50 monomer units of P3ST. Now, if you think about what is the, I mean, so this is how this the monomer will be collected. But this phase is not only one atom or something like that. This is a collective, say tens of chains of P3ST or one polymer is coming together, and tens of chains of the other polymer coming together. So this is a continuum structure. I'm showing. Of course, you have to average it out. In this, in the real scenario, you will have, I mean, there will be spacings and all, but you have to average it out to get this continuum picture. But this is simply you can, I mean, model this system. I mean, otherwise things will be lot of complicated and will not capture the essential physics of it.
Can you go to our slideshow?
Slash 12, okay. Oops.
So I'm not very familiar with the solar structure. So the contacts you use are all here. So the contacts on the top is alumina, and on the bottom is IPO. So, why do you use
that? Because
it's transparent?
Yeah, one reason is it's transparent. And we cannot use a same work function electrode here, because we have to set up an electric field, inbuilt electric field, so that electrons and holes gradually can be transported. So, only one contact is required to be transparent, because sunlight has to come in. Yeah, so that's why one is ITO, which is expensive, and this is aluminum.
Now, since you mentioned that there's obviously not really a consistent model for the transport itself in this system, I guess this lifetime is also taken. I mean, you said it's taken from literature, but this is a measurement.
Yeah, measurement, yeah.
The lifetime itself, I mean, does it depend on the annealing process, or is it just a given constant?
It's an average lifetime. So, depending on it, say your exciton diffusion length will vary. Say from 10 nanometer, it can vary to 12 nanometer or 15 nanometer, something like that.
From 10 to 200.
Yeah, so lifetime is tau, and your diffusion length is square root of d tau. So if you're, so average, on an average, people see lifetime is 1 nanosecond. So it might vary, say, 500 picoseconds to 2 nanoseconds. It will not give you much difference in the length scale.
And from what does this depend, this result, the lifetime?
Yeah. So,
From what does it depend? Does it depend on the polymer itself, or is on the annealing process, or the variation of this lifetime?
It depends on the polymer. It's an intrinsic property of, I mean, this polymer itself. Yeah. Of polymer. The morphology itself depends on the processing condition. But, yeah. Okay.
So you spoke about output current.
Yep.
But what is the efficiency?
Yeah, this is not the full study, by the way. This is the short circuit current I'm talking about. But there will be open circuit voltage also involved, which I'm working right now, actually. So to talk about efficiency, we need to talk about open circuit voltage also. Which one?
You also enhance the charge field at the
moment? Yeah, yeah. This is right now. Yeah, yeah, correct. Okay. Thanks.